reading, and I ask you just kind of stay with me as we work our way through it, but there's some excellent things to think about here. The Word of God is what we need to be thinking about. The ninth verse, my heart within me is broken. Now this is the prophet reflecting God's words. Because of the prophets, all my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome. Because of the Lord and because of His holy words, that's important. God's words are holy. For the land is full of adulterers, and because of the curse of the land's mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their courses of life are evil, that their might is not right. For both the prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their weakness, says the Lord. Therefore their ways shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall into them. For I will bring disaster upon them. The year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal and cause my people Israel to err. Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them like wormwood. I will make them drink the water of gall. And from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak of visions from their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say, though, to those who despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come to you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his words and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord hath gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. I will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not seen these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? Am I not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? So shall I not see him, says the Lord. Do I not fill heavens and the earth, says the Lord? Have I not heard what the prophets have said, who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of deceit and of their own heart, and who make my people forget my name by their dreams, from which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my words, let him speak my words faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who uses their tongues to say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore they shall not profit these people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophets or the priests ask you, saying, what is an oracle of God? Then you will say, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus, every one of you shall say to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered? And what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more. For every man's words will be his oracle. For you have prevented the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken? But since you say the oracle of the Lord, therefore, thus says the Lord, because you say this word, the oracle of the Lord, and I have sent to you, saying, do not say the oracle of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and forget you, and forsake you, and the city that I gave you, and your fathers, and will cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. David?
That's my talk. He did a wonderful job, didn't he? Now, I read this chapter. It's been several weeks ago. Several. When you're reading the Bible, a lot of times you have things pop up in your mind. When I read this here, it popped up in my mind. A lot of things, really. And I thought, well, you know something, that'd be a good thing to talk about. And then I tried to go to thinking, well, how are you going to present this? I appreciate Nancy asking the scripture that's to put on the front page of the bulletin. And Randy's, when he's reading, mentions the same way. I want you to look at that 33rd verse. We're going to get back to that. I'm going to read that real quick, and then we're going to get back to it again here in a little bit. It says, and when this people, or the prophet, or the priest, shall ask thee, saying, the King James has, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say, what burden? When he's talking about the burden of the Lord, what they was asking here, yeah, they was talking about the Word of God. And some interpretations, like Randy read, mentioned oracle there. What's the oracle of God? When I thought of the burden here, like I say, I'm going to get back to that again here in a little bit, because that's one of my main thoughts in this here. But when I looked at this here chapter, like I say, I thought to myself, well, how am I going to present it? And I struggled a long time with this. A long time. And then it just came to my mind, well, why don't you just present what come to your mind? So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to present what came to my mind. I believe when we read the Old Testament, we can understand the New Testament better, because a lot of it refers to different scriptures in the New Testament. Solomon wrote in the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse, That which has been is now. From the 9th verse all the way down to the 32nd verse, he's talking about false prophets. Those that's going to come and speak stuff that's just not right. He mentions in the 13th and 14th verse, he said that the prophets of Samaria prophesied unto Baal. Who's Baal? He's an idol of the Canaanites and Phoenicians. But the prophets of Samaria, of course, now we're talking about the northern kingdom of Israel and Judah, the southern kingdom. He said that northern kingdom, they're prophesying unto Baal. Over in that 22nd or 27th verse, he mentions that, tell every man his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name, for Baal. That's what he's talking about. In other words, they begin to worship Baal, this idol. And by doing so, they forgot the true and living God. And then he goes on down in that next verse, and he talks about Jerusalem, the southern kingdom, where the temple of God is. What does he say about them? They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers, that none do return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me like Sodom, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. What's Sodom and Gomorrah like? Remember? Remember what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah because he was so angry with them because they were so evil? Destroyed them with brimstone and fire. And he's likening these people here to that. Not just the prophets, but the people themselves, because the prophets is prophesying things that shouldn't be. He goes on down in that 16th verse, and he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, or they make you unholy. Don't listen to them. And I think of the words of Solomon, that there's nothing new in under the sun. That which was before is now. When I look at this, turn Bibles over to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Paul had to deal with false teaching. You think when you read something like this, well, this was just something back then. Well, it's not. There's Paul's teaching to the church at Corinth. He had a problem with this. Where I want to start at, the 8th verse. Let's start there. It says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Or in other words, these other churches supported Paul while he was preaching the word at Corinth. It says, when I was present with you and lacked, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. He's talking about, of course, when he was teaching to them. He didn't take no wage from them. He didn't take no support from them, because he wanted to just teach them the truth. Other brothers from other areas supported him while he's doing so. The 12th verse, he says, but that I do, I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them who desire occasion, that in that which they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, Paul had to deal with false teachers then. And they was false teachers to the extent that they was claiming to be apostles. But the only reason they was doing it was to get the people to support them, to think they was important. And this is the reason Paul brings this out here. When he was there, he didn't take no support from them. He took it from other churches. The 14th and 15th verses of that same chapter says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Back over in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the instructions was, don't hearken to them. Don't listen to them. Now, how are you going to know this? How are you going to know whether someone's telling the truth or not? Second Timothy, the 2nd chapter, 15th verse. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. The only way you're going to know whether a person is telling the truth about God's Word, you're going to have to know God's Word. You've got responsibility. Or else you might be like the people back then that he was talking about. He was telling them, don't listen to them, don't hearken to them. But the people did. And that there is a reason they was evil the way they were. Maybe I should have started this. When Jeremiah wrote this, Jerusalem and Judah hadn't been invaded yet. On back a little bit further into this chapter, they will be. But the reason that he's saying what he's telling them, because of their evil ways, this is the reason that God is bringing this destruction upon them. That's the reason they're going to be carried into captivity. It hadn't happened yet, but he's been warning them. There's three prophets that's active at this last time before Judah is carried into captivity. That there's Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. Isn't that something? Those are books you're right in a row. When you're reading them, they're right in a row. But those three prophets was active at that time. He makes another statement on down in the latter part of that there, 16th verse. Says, they speak visions of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still to those who despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. They say, everyone that walketh after the imaginations of their own heart, no evil shall come upon me. So how are they speaking? They're speaking visions of their own heart, their own imaginations. When I read this, I couldn't keep from thinking of a book over in Ezekiel. Turn over with me to the 14th chapter of Ezekiel. This is after Nebuchadnezzar, of course, had come and he'd taken the first wave of the captives back to Babylon. Here the elders of Israel comes to Ezekiel, and they're seeking for him to ask of the Lord for him. Listen to what he says. Then come certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and set before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men Reggie. I get emotional myself a lot anymore. More than I ever used to when I get to reading God's Word. But he said, these men have set up idols in their heart and put stumbling blocks of their iniquity before their face. And God says to him, should I be inquired of all by them? These men are coming and they've got their own idols in their own heart. Should I be inquired of by them? Those people that they're not following me, but they're following their own will. That's what they were doing back here when they were speaking visions of their own heart and of their own imaginations. You know, we all have things. We set up idols. And I'm not talking about a metal thing that we set up out here and we look at and we worship. We set them up in our hearts. Something special to us. Something special. And we think we'll put that there before a lot of stuff because we think that they're special. Don't set up those idols in your heart. And don't put those things before God. He goes back after this. Again, in the 23rd chapter. He said, they've set up these visions in their heart. Their idols that they've set up, their imaginations. And then he makes a statement. And really the statement that he makes in the 18th verse and also the 22nd verse coincide. He says, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Let's read also that 22nd verse with it. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. That's why I say that he wasn't just talking to the prophets. He wasn't just talking to the priests. He was talking to all of them, the people too. If the prophets had stood in his counsel and listened to him and spoken what they should have, then the people would have turned from their evil ways, from their evil doings. But of course, he goes back and he talks about this whirlwind of the Lord in the 19th verse. He says, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is going forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. And it shall fall grievously upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return. Or in other words, God's anger is not going to turn around. It's just like back at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember we just talked about that? And what happened to them? And the anger of the Lord was against them. And he said that these people here, I think of you just like them. That's the reason this year is going to happen to you. The 23rd verse and the 24th verse, he says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide from me? In other words, God's saying to to Jeremiah, am I just a God in here? I'm not out there. Can anyone hide from me? You know, that's something important for us to remember today. God sees everything. Hebrews 4th chapter and 11th verse tells us that God knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. What we're thinking, what's in us? Do we think that, well, just because I'm in here, and maybe if I go out there, God's not going to see me? He's a God of far off also. No man can hide from Him. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Let me... And of course, these next few verses talks about those false prophets. They saying, oh, I've dreamed. I've seen visions. I've done all this here. So therefore, we should worship God like this. Haven't we heard that today? Yeah, I have. I've heard it many times. I've dreamed. And so therefore, we should worship God according to this. Maybe it's not according to God's Word. But people lead a lot of people astray in that way. Now let's get down to this here. We're quickly running out of time here. Time seems to slip away from me so quick. That 33rd verse says, when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? You know, when I thought of this, I couldn't keep from thinking of Jeremiah, the 41st chapter and the 42nd chapter. Well, actually, the 40th chapter goes along with that. Nebuchadnezzar had come, and he'd carried away the captives. He'd killed a bunch of people, of course, and he'd carried people away. There was a few of the remnant left in Judah. And in that 40th chapter, we're told that Nebuchadnezzar had set up a man to rule over them, a governor, you might say. Well, everybody didn't like this governor that set up by Nebuchadnezzar. And so a man named Ishmael, he was an Ammonite, his king sent him to kill Gedaliah, I think was the ruler's name. Well, there was another man there, Johanan, and he tried to warn Gedaliah. He said, don't you know Ishmael is coming to kill you? He dismissed it. He didn't think his son. And so Ishmael come, and he come with a few men with him, and they came in, and they ate with Gedaliah. Afterwards, we're told that he rose up and killed him. But he didn't only kill him, he killed the Jews that was present with him. And not only them, but they killed some of the Chaldeans. And then all the rest of the Jews that was there, they took captive and left. When Johanan heard what happened, he took a bunch of men and went after him. He was aiming to fight with Ishmael. Well, Ishmael turned back and he seen all these here people coming after him. And the people that he took captive seen all these people coming after him. Well, the people turned back and went back to where Johanan and the people is with him. Well, after this here, they come back and they dwell close to Bethlehem on the way going down to Egypt. And we're told that Johanan and the people came in the 41st chapter. They came to Jeremiah and they said, go ask the Lord for us. And ever what he says to do, that we'll do. Turn your Bibles over to the 41st chapter of Jeremiah. After they'd come and asked the 42nd chapter, after they'd come and they'd asked Jeremiah to go and seek for him, we're told in the 7th verse of that year that after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and then he brought word to the people. And this is the word that he brought to people. If you will still abide in the land, then will I build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will show mercy unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. This was the word that came back to the people from Jeremiah from God. Stay there, and I'll protect you. I'll save you. You don't have to be afraid of the king of Babylon. I'll take care of you. Look at the 43rd chapter. It says, and it came to pass when Jeremiah had ceased speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord. He'd finished what he'd said to them. We're told in that second verse, look down by almost about the middle way, he says, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thus thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. On down in the 7th verse, he says, so they came into the land of Egypt, and they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, we ask God, well, what do you want us to do? We have God's Word. He tells us what He wants us to do. Sometimes we set up, we've already got in our minds what we want to do. And this is what happened to the people at that time. They'd set up in their minds already what they wanted to do, but they told Jeremiah, go ask the Lord. Well, they asked, and the Lord gave them the answer. But it wasn't what they wanted to do. So what did they do? They went on to Egypt. They was afraid of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylon. And because of this, they thought, well, if we go to Egypt, we won't have to worry about war coming back on us again. Nebuchadnezzar coming and killing more of us or taking us away. We're being under the shade of Egypt. And, of course, they went there. When you go to reading these here, and you go to reading this here a little further on back in that 40th chapter, it didn't do them any good. Because Nebuchadnezzar coming and took over Egypt. They was all killed. Even though, if they just stayed what God told them to do. Now, so the thought comes to me, are we any different? Are we any different than what they are? Do we look at God's Word and say, well, this is what He wants me to do, but I want to go on vacation. You know, when I go on vacation, well, I go to church all the time, but I'm going on vacation. I'm not going to go to church on Sunday, on the first day of the week, to remember Jesus. Does God expect us to be at His place of worship on the first day of the week? Do we know what God wants us to do, but we're going to do what we want to do? That's what they did here. We have a lot of examples of that. Over Peter, 21st chapter of John. In the 21st chapter of John, Jesus had died and he'd already rose again. And his disciples, and Peter said, I'm going fishing. You know, I understand, I love fishing. But Peter said, I'm going fishing. And some of the other disciples said, I'm going with you. You know, they fished all night. And when the morning came, Jesus was standing on the shore and he called to them, you have any meat? No, we fished all night and hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, well, cast your nets on the right side. And they cast their nets on the right side. And they had so many in their nets, they couldn't pull them to shore. We're told that they came to shore. They dined. Jesus already had a meal prepared for them. They ate. And after they ate, remember what Jesus asked Peter? Three times. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? He didn't tell Peter, I don't want you going fishing. I don't want you going on vacation. He said, do you love me more than you do these? Are you putting them first, in other words? The first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. God expects us to put Him first in our lives. That's what I get out of that. That's the reason I gave that example of Peter and what Jesus said to him. First, we need to listen to what Jesus said. They listened and they was able to catch. We need to listen to God's Word and put Him first in our lives. Now, I am really running over. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me wrap this up. After he asked the priest and the people asked about what is the burden of the Lord, the reply came to God, from God to Jeremiah. And what was his answer? What burden? What burden? You know, this is my main thought. And here I've been talking all this time about something else. But when we're worshiping God and we're trying to serve Him, is that a burden to you? You know, a burden is something that you carry along with you. It's something, it's a weight. It's something hard to carry. Is serving God a burden to you? That's what I ask myself. When I read this, is it a burden to go and worship God? I'm going to give you one scripture. Matthew, the 11th chapter. The words of Jesus, the 29th and 30th verses of that chapter. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden is easy. Or my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Is it a burden for us to serve God? Jesus said that His burden, or His yoke, is easy. You know, when we think of a yoke, we think, most of us probably don't realize, but we know what a yoke is. It's something that goes on the neck of an ox that they used it back in the early years, back in the Old Testament time, is how they plowed their fields with a yoke of oxen. Elisha plowed with 10 yoke of oxen. He plowed with a bunch. But a yoke is something that you put on your neck and it helps the other one that's with you. And it's not something painful. Your whole body is able to pull the weight. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Or in other words, come and work right alongside me. He don't expect us to be His children and not work. Now, when we think of the burden of the Lord and thinking of, is it a burden to serve God? And I have to say to myself, no, it's not. It's not. Now, when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest into your souls, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Again, I apologize for running over. In the 4th chapter, in the 16th verse, says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction is but for a moment, and working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Though our outward man perish, and I think that there's what Jesus was talking about in this year, 11th chapter of Matthew, that his yoke is easy and his burden was light. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be doing anything. We're going to be pulling right along with Jesus. Our outward man might perish, and it does. It gets weaker as you get older. More things go wrong with you. That outward man perisheth, but it's the inner man that is renewed day by day. And that's what I believe he was talking about when he said, you'll find rest unto your souls. So I'm going to close this right now. I've got much more. I'm sorry. But I'll leave you with a thought. Is worshiping God a burden to you? Think about that. Is it really a burden to you? And if it is to you, why is it? We'll close there. If we can help anyone, if the word of the Lord is a burden to you and you'd like to, and you haven't